The first reading this morning is from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his hope, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for in the morning. More than those who watch for in the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all of its iniquities. Word of God, word of life. And today's second reading is from 2 Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Gospel according to Mark, the third chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying he has gone out of his mind. Okay, I'm going to pause there and back up. It says in the New Revised Standard Version, people were saying. But the Greek says they were saying, and for some reason, NRSV decided that was someone other than his family, but most of the other translations agree that they probably referred back to Jesus' family. So they came to restrain him because they thought he was out of his mind. So I'm going to start over and just keep that in mind as you hear. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for they were saying, he has gone out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons. And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And Jesus replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers and sisters. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The Gospel of the Lord. This morning I want to talk a little bit about traditional family values. Does that phrase make anyone else's skin crawl when they hear it? I like all three of those words. Traditional, I'm a pretty traditional person, like look at my robe, right? Family, I love my family. Values are wonderful. But when I hear them together, traditional family values, I hear political rhetoric used to preserve the status quo and promote exclusionary policies. Or I hear coded language for anti-LGBTQ+, anti-feminist, pro-patriarchy. I want to talk about traditional family values because Christianity and the Bible are often used to support that version. But the thing is, Jesus does not really fit into that box. Jesus' own family didn't fit in that box with his unmarried teenage mother. And Jesus' teachings were always disrupting the status quo, including how we think about family. I'm not saying Jesus was anti-family, but he did not idolize any particular family structure the way modern Christianity often has. In fact, Jesus taught in a way that redefined family altogether. In today's gospel, Jesus' family came to get him, to stop him from teaching because they thought he was crazy, or at least acting crazy. They wanted to stop him from stirring the pot and from all the things he was doing and saying that was going against the status quo and drawing negative attention from the powers that be. They might have been trying to protect him because it was dangerous stuff what Jesus was doing. Or maybe they were just trying to protect the family reputation. We don't know. But whatever their motive, they are not able to support Jesus in this moment. In this moment, they can't understand what he's about. This brought to mind for me a story from my childhood. And it might be a little bit of a stretch, but it kept popping into my head, so I'm going to share it with you. When I was about 12 or 13 years old, we were having a family Christmas at my parents' house with cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents. And in my extended family, only the women cooked and cleaned up afterwards. So after dinner that Christmas, I was in the basement with my cousins when the call came down, girls, come up and help clean the kitchen. And I was not so happy about this. I turned to my boy cousins and said, come on, we all need to go help clean up. They just laughed at me. You heard them. They said the girls need to go clean up the kitchen. Blood is boiling now. So I stomped up the stairs, and when I got to the top, I announced loudly, I refuse to participate in this sexist activity. And I turned to my girl cousins for solidarity, and they sidestepped me to get to the kitchen to help clean up. My mother came up to me, and my mom always supported me, so I thought, and she said, "Do not embarrass me." My aunts and uncles, I looked over, and they were just looking at me like I'd sprouted a second head. Like they just did not know what to do with me. And my grandmother, to the day she died, referred to that moment as that time Heather threw a tissy fit. I remember very clearly how that felt, that moment. I felt like I just did not fit into my family and like they didn't understand me. Now, whether or not to do the dishes is a small thing, but it had a big impact on me. I remember it hurt. It's painful when you know in your heart you're doing the right thing and your family doesn't support you or thinks you're crazy. See, family doesn't always get it right. They don't always support us when they should. They don't always understand our truth when we speak it or accept us when we grow beyond their comfort zone. Family can sometimes fail us, hurt us, or even reject us. That is something that Mark's audience would have been very familiar with, as early Christians experienced family division because of their new faith. Following Jesus and living out his teachings often meant leaving behind family that didn't approve. And so it would have been such good news to hear Jesus redefine family, to describe this new community of Jesus followers as brothers and sisters and mothers. Think about what amazing good news that would be to someone who'd lost their family, to someone who'd been abandoned or rejected by their family. It means that they were not alone. Jesus has named them and claimed them as part of his family. This new family, it's not built on marriage or circumstances of birth. It's not built on total agreement or tradition. Instead, this new family is built on a shared commitment to follow and to live out God's love. And this is such good news for us because we are all part of imperfect families. Even if our families are mostly wonderful, all families will fall short at times, unable to support young feminists or spouting hateful politics or simply not knowing how to be what we need them to be. But the good news is that we have been named and claimed in our baptism. We have been marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit and named as children of God forever. In other words, Jesus has looked at us and called us family. So no matter what happens within our families, no matter what happens within our lives, we are never without the care and support of a family. We are never without unconditional love. Sadly, today, many Christian churches are the ones kicking people out instead of welcoming people in. We've heard when Youth Emergency Services comes and speaks how many of the young people they serve are LGBTQ+ youth who've been kicked out by very religious families. That is not the family values that Jesus taught. The good news is that we have been blessed to be part of God's family, and so we are called to be family to anyone who needs a place to feel that love and care. Because all of us in God's family, all of us siblings of Jesus, we are called to extend our care and our love and our concern beyond our own family units. We're called to share that love with whoever we see hurting or in need. We are called to become family to whoever needs it most. Those who are without family. Those who've been abandoned or hurt by family. Those who have lost or been separated from family they dearly love. Marriage, circumstances of birth, none of that are what make up God's family. The traditional value in God's family is love. Love of God, love of one another, love of our neighbor. It is love that has been given to us, each and every one of us, abundantly and lavishly and freely given to each of us just as we are. And it is in sharing that love. That is what makes us family. Thanks be to God. Amen.